Oh, it's great to be back. Look at that top text. It's Wednesday, March 27.
Thanks for your support, Hemo. Love you, brother.
Let me just read this for you. Daily, you knob with knob spelt N-O-B in capital letters. And Daily with no E as well.
Yeah, that annoys me.
You're okay with knob N-O-B, but get Daily right. At least spell his name right, please.
Everyone goes to functions these days. When they put their name on the card, they get it wrong.
Put some respect on the name.
What you've achieved. Daily, you knob, stand down and let the gun punters go again. You are out of form, like Foxy, says Hemo from Lake
Well,
Macquarie.
If the masses want that, Hemo, I'm happy to hand it over. But you're one of... you're one of a limited number of people that actually text in wanting me to stand down. There's thousands that text in. Just want me to do the multi on a Friday. Listen. And it's a team game, so I'm happy to share in everyone's loss and happy to share in everyone's wins. That's the way
I'm not sure that's true. I don't think that's your complete truth. I think you're more than happy with the second bit to share in everyone's win. Not sure you like the loss part, taking any accountability for our losses.
No, I put my hand up.
When you're doing them.
Yeah, put my hand up when I'm doing them. I always accept responsibility. That's part of being a leader, Michael. You understand that.
Oh, dear. Bulldog, how's it?
Good morning.
Morning.
Hello, Dean.
There's supposed to be an intro, Michael.
No, mate, I don't like
I can't talk until Mido introduces me.
We don't need
me.
An intro when you're sitting in here.
Okay.
If you're
good morning, boys.
Phone...
Shredding on my toes.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I've just sat in that seat.
Tandem out to a slap in the face.
Yeah, that's like you touching Loz's quiz. I apologise.
Let's not go there.
The day we did that.
Oh, mate. Whoa. He was up out of his seat. Marlo tried to. Marlo actually tried to control the quiz.
Oh yeah, that would have been.
Lozilly cut his hand off
for it.
Yeah, he wasn't happy.
How are you, Dean? Anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Come on, let Jono play it. Let him play the intro.
You got it, Jono?
No, he's flicking. Well, see, Jono doesn't
even
like
it.
Jono did it, and he doesn't even like it.
What about when I was just waiting out the back there, and Laurie asked Adam Pengilly the last question, and he says, "Good question, Loz." Could see him puff his chest out. I'm on fire today. You love it when people say that, don't you?
It was just a good question.
I heard it.
I can't help
it
if it was a good question.
What was the question?
What was it?
Yeah.
It was Jipper. Hey, it was Pakistan. Did you buy me a present?
He's good. Nah. No, I didn't buy anyone. I didn't buy. I actually didn't get my daughter. What are you laughing at?
What would be the?
Oh no, the present I'd buy.
What would be the equivalent of socks and undies in Pakistan to bring back?
Be easy to get.
What are they like over there? You'd do a chicken biryani. There's chicken biryani with everything.
Chicken biryani.
Naan bread with breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Delicacy?
Well, it's...
What did you eat?
It's just curry. The food's very similar to India. But you can get any food. You can get any... Yeah, you can get steak. Definitely, I'd steak. Chicken.
Well done.
Your pizza. Pasta. But they've got all the curries, Yep. They're big on dessert,
actually. How would you go with your diet?
You put on a bit of weight. It's hard not to put weight on. Put it that way.
It's fair to say you've got a basic palate, Loz.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be going to Pakistan, Bulldog.
Right, okay.
Anytime soon.
Not on your to-do list.
No.
From
my
experience, don't believe everything you hear.
No.
A lot better than what I was. Because that was my first trip, and I was a little unsure what to expect.
Yep.
Hotel beautiful, people amazing, and I felt safe as anywhere else I've travelled in the world. There you go.
Yeah, narrow-minded, Michael, some people.
Well, I think there's fair reason for Pakistan to be a little nervous
jittery
with what's happened in the past. But, I felt very comfortable.
So you'd feel comfortable going over there?
Absolutely.
Someone sent you for a month?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
I could see myself covering a rugby league game in Karachi.
I think it'd be a little bit different if you just went on your own for a holiday. I don't know if I'd be choosing Pakistan for a take, you know, your wife there for a vacay. But if you go on as a group, like with the commentary team, or I think the players can feel comfortable now going over there for sure, from what I just experienced.
You haven't convinced him. I'm telling you.
No, he's not vacaying in Pakistan, is he? I don't blame him.
Anyway, it's good to be here.
He's not going out of Northbridge. let alone Pakistan.
Don't like going over any bridges.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't like to travel.
Well, let's talk about the Tigers first, because from a distance, you smoke them and Benji. Now I hope you're praising them.
No, see, Michael, this is where you let yourself down. You haven't done your homework. Yes. You're in Karachi.
I should have defended you to my family.
I know you did, and I appreciate that.
Get off Benji's back,
I said to my old man, did you read the article? He goes, no. He read the headline.
And I defended you on YouTube.
Hang on a second.
Oh, did you? Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
The article you're referring to suggested
that Benji Marshall could, in fact, be a coach that changes the way coaching unfolds in terms of hours. Rather than doing 18-hour days, maybe Benji can do 12 hours and still be victorious.
Outcomes versus hours. I agree.
100%. That's the question I posed. They got flogged in game one. They won game two. I guess we'll know after 10 games.
After game two, there was an article before a ball was kicked for the Tigers, questioning the Tigers' training. It was more than posing a question. Now,
Michael, did you read the first paragraph?
No, I didn't read any of it. I'm just trying to get something out of you. I just want to know: are you going to write an article about our unbelievable win?
Let's see. Yeah, well, of course, there's been plenty of media about the victory.
I didn't cover the game.
You're a tough journalist.
It's hard to write a story, but you don't cover it.
You seem to cover the game when we lose, but you don't seem to cover it when we win. What a coincidence.
This is the problem with
you
fans.
You are such
fans,
a journo.
West Tigers like you, you get all cocky after one win.
No.
Let's revisit this after 10 rounds.
So this is what journalists do. Wait until we lose so you can smash
us. No, you wait until there's a pattern emerging over the season. I got hammered on Twitter. Absolutely.
Good.
Belted.
And did Benji call you?
Yes, he did.
I like that. Yes, and how was that conversation?
It was, I wouldn't say it was heated, but both...
He was
disagreed
honest.
Over yeah. interpretations.
Perfect, I love that.
And we said our bit, and I agreed with some of the things he said.
Brilliant.
He disagreed with everything I said. But in the end, I'm glad he rang.
Yep.
I'm not going to go into the details, Clarkie. It was an off-the-record conversation, but we sort of thrashed out what differences we had. I've got no problem with the Tigers, Michael.
Yeah, no, I know that.
I really don't dislike any side in the NRL. People always say, oh, you hate our side. Why would I hate any side? And if the Tigers do well, good luck to them.
And I'm taking the piss, but it was. And Middle and I spoke about it my first day back because I come in, so I can't wait till Bulldog get. The headline was very different to the article. A lot of the cases with stuff you read.
Benji, look, I don't want to backtrack over this because we discussed it.
I liked that Benji had picked up the phone and told you what he thought.
He did say, Clarkie, he doesn't want to be a 24/7 coach and he has family time between 5 and 8 every night. Mm. And when he told me that, I actually applauded him. Mm. I said, terrific. Every father's entitled to spend time with their children.
Yeah.
So I wasn't criticising for that. I was just saying that other coaches don't do that. That's not right or wrong. It's just different.
Do other coaches not do that, or they don't talk about it before they've won a game?
Potentially.
Yeah, because I think all of us spend time with our families or our friends.
As fathers should, and husbands.
We probably just don't... It's probably just not spoken about.
When one coach goes in for 18 hours a day, you get the feeling that every coach wants to do 18 hours a day because they're fearful of missing out on that 1% that the other coach might get while one's laying in bed still. So they all do it. But if Benji can rework the system and he can get success by doing 12, 13 hours, good on him.
Well, speaking of coaches, what about the other side? How's this pressure with South Sydney?
Oh, it's building. It's building. None from three. I think fans accept defeat. It's part of sport. But when you play your neighbours, your hated neighbours, and get beaten by 48 points... There's pressure. And Jason Dimitro, he's not silly. He knows it. It's there. And there's key players not performing. And to me, from an outsider looking in, Loz, you're better equipped to answer this than I am. But from an outsider looking in, there's just something not right there. Something's not gelling, whether it's on the field, off the field. I don't know what it is. But at the moment, with that roster, they are underperforming. And I think, Clarkie, they've won 4 from their last 16 games. And with that side, clearly, you can understand why fans are agitated.
Yeah, and it's not the start they're expecting, because all the noise coming out of South Sydney going into the season was all positive.
They're as together, it should have been. They got Jack White.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm. So, look, they're under the pump. There's no doubt about that. But they're too good a side. On paper, if they find some form, not to be winning games of football and not making a run and a surge towards the finals. And it's only three games in. Bulldogs this weekend, if they lose that, then the alarm bells are ringing.
It's a real danger game, because you would expect South to win. However, the Dogs last week came good.
Oh, very good.
They touched up the Gold Coast.
Yep.
And they looked a very good football team, particularly on that left side, Loz.
Yep.
But as you say, if the Bunnies go down to the Bulldogs, then there's going to be dramas. But what are the dramas? Clearly, Jason Demetriou won't get sacked, nor does he deserve to get sacked so early in the season.
No.
He's made changes, so he can't go back and just keep making changes every week. So, you know, where do you go? People in the media like myself and you guys say, pressure's building, but what is that pressure? Where do they go to from here? It's a difficult question to answer.
Does it look...
Do they move Latrell Mitchell to centre?
Well, I was going to ask...
I'm just throwing out there some options.
If they come out now, start with Cookie again, and then bring their halfback back, does it look worse if they go back to what they had at the start of the season?
I said that during the week, Clarkey. I said his options are limited in terms of his halfback, because he can't go back to Lachlan Ilias now. And he hasn't, to be fair. He's stuck with young Dean Hawkins. Ilias went very well in the New South Wales Cup last week, so to his credit, he hasn't dropped his bundle. He's fighting to get back, so that's a good sign. But, you know, look, Cody's form's down. Latrell's form's down. There's no sugarcoating that. Everyone can see it every week. They've got a good pack, albeit some claim that they're getting bashed up through the middle. But, you know, there's a lot of State of Origin players in their forward pack.
Well, Thomas Burgess gets a start this weekend, so I think that's a positive for them. I sort of can't work out why he's been coming off the bench, because I think they need his size and his carry at the start of the game, which will then help Murray. I think they win this game. I think they beat the Bulldogs, but I'm basing that on not on form, just on they have to come good. Mm. And with their backs against the wall so early in the season, if they've got any fight at all, then they show it this week.
We've literally spoken about nothing on your agenda so far, so we'll take a quick break, and I promise you we will, Bulldog. Oh, just by the way, Eagle Farms, Steve Hewlett just noting, Eagle Farms off today. There's been 54 mils of rain there since 9 a.m. yesterday, and showers are continuing over southeast Queensland, so midweek racing at Eagle Farm today is off. We've had another text asking for Adam Pengilly's tip. He liked on the Kenzo at Randwick today. Dean Bulldog Richie joining us. Bulldog, initially we read that Bryce Cartwright would be out for, well, basically 2 months with a rib injury. Then we see he is named in the Parramatta team for their Easter Monday match against the West Tigers at Combank.
Yeah, extraordinary story unfolded yesterday. Mido, I was told by his manager that Bryce would be out for a while with that rib injury. It could have been 4 weeks, perhaps a little more, perhaps a little less. As the day went on, I understand that Bryce approached Brad Arthur and quite courageously, I guess you could say, posed the question that, can you give me up until kickoff? I think I can get through it. Apparently, it's his seventh rib, which is the closest to his lung, which makes it, and this is coming from a medical expert, not me, of course, which makes it more difficult for painkilling injections. But Bryce thinks he can be strapped up, have a needle, and play. But with a fractured rib, the pain would be excruciating, I would imagine. And for him to play would be an incredibly brave performance. So BA said, look, he's earned the respect of the playing group from what he's done this year.
Tough, yeah.
He's playing tough, so I'm going to give him the chance. So he's going to be given up until Sunday to play. Brad Arthur said if he's not ready, he won't play. Mm. But if he thinks he can, I think we at least owe it to him to give him that chance. So for a player, Laurie, who has been questioned before about his commitment, this is an incredibly courageous effort.
I've been so taken with him. Last year and this year.
So have I. Yeah, I think he's a good fella too, Bryce.
Yeah, and
I don't know whether he'll play, Loz. I think it might be a bit too dangerous.
Yeah.
But good on him for having a dig and saying, give me a chance.
Yeah, no, it's like he's put his focus in on his defence rather than all the focus on the ball skills? Because he always had the skills, didn't he?
He's put about 7 Ks on Loz. He's about 110 Ks at the moment.
So his body's getting off the line. His body's big now. You know, he's being aggressive and he's such a good player. And I think someone posed the question maybe even 2 weeks ago or last week. Is he a bolter for Origin? I think
that was me.
Oh, was that you?
All I said was that if he continues the form he's on, he should be at least considered.
I think he will be. I think he's someone that has impressed a lot of people. So I think his name will certainly get bandied around. I know we've only got a couple of minutes to go. I want to ask you about Leichhardt Oval. Get your take on that.
Yeah, it's a really sad situation. Loz, they are claiming, of course, that it's only got 2 years left until the ground becomes inadequate to host NRL games. I desperately hope that's not the case. Yes, it's a game, rugby league, that's progressing quickly. We've got big stadiums. It's $1 billion game now. Rugby league is flying. I've never seen it soar so high. But we can't lose a link to the past. We've got to have a connection to our history. And Leichhardt Oval is such a big part of rugby league history. And look, if they can't play 5 games there, maybe as Adam Pengilly said before the news, maybe 2 a year. Maybe like the Bulldogs do at Belmore, but we just can't walk away from those suburban grounds. I don't want it to be like Melbourne. Melbourne's different to Sydney. They play all their games at 2 stadiums. That's fine. It's a different geographical setup down there, and that's a plan that works for Melbourne but not Sydney. So I don't want all the games at Accor, Combank and Allianz. But for Leichhardt, if it needs $30 million, where's the $30 million going to come from, Clarkie? Yeah, the government said they won't do it.
No, no.
They've said no to multiple times to all suburban grounds now. So maybe like Manly, the Tigers might have to look at redevelopment which incorporates commercial opportunities.
Mm. Yeah.
I know Manly's looking at building accommodation for essential workers down there. So a long-term plan which continually injects money into the club and into the stadium that can work, because the government, the easy way of handout to the government is over. Mm. So if you're going to redevelop your ground, you're going to have to think left field from these days.
Yep.
And Bulldog, we lost one of the giants of sports journalism in Australia.
Yeah, sadly, Ian Head's passed away 2 days ago, Middo. A lovely man, a journalist of ethics, integrity and honour. Laurie, you would have had a bit to do with him over the years. He certainly helped me as a young kid. When I was coming through as a pesky teenager, he had a beautiful turn of phrase, Ian. He was a lovely writer, lovely author, wrote more than 40 books, and certainly condolences go to the Head's family. Sports journalism in Australia is much poorer today for Ian's passing, as is rugby league.
Thank you, Bulldog.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Last night, the Socceroos 5-0 over Lebanon in Canberra in their World Cup qualifier. Craig Goodwin was outstanding, had a second-half double and assisted an early goal for Cassini Yangi as well. Now, there's plenty of Euro qualifiers on at the moment also. Now, Georgia are through to the Euros. They've beaten Greece on penalties, 4-2 on penalties. Georgia winning. It is scoreless in Wales and Poland, and Iceland lead 1-0 against Ukraine at halftime in their match this morning as well. Just some other news around. Now, in the AFLW, the two Swans players, Lexi Hamilton and Paige Shepherd, they've copped a 2-match ban after they were caught with an illicit substance outside the Clovelly Hotel in Sydney in December. Naturally, both have indicated their remorse. So 2-match ban for those two players. 2 metre Peter Wright of Essendon, he's copped 4 matches at the tribunal for his bump on Sydney's Harry Cunningham. The force was deemed in the severe category.
Wow.
And he didn't attempt to mark or spoil, is what the tribunal chairman said in his deliberation there. So 4 matches for Peter Wright.
Heavy. Heavy, heavy, heavy penalty.
Yeah, I know it's been...
I thought he had eyes for the ball 99% of the time. And I know you are a Swans tragic, so you're going to find it very hard to not be emotionally attached. But I think the size difference and the result of the injury is what's caused such a heavy penalty.
Indeed. And the injury now is a factor.
Yep.
Well, you know, the fact he said that the contact was severe was a big factor in the punishment given.
Yeah.
So four matches for Peter Wright of Essendon. Just at Geelong as well, their captain, Paddy Dangerfield, he's going to miss a couple of games, they're saying, with a hamstring injury that he suffered late in the Cats' win against Adelaide last week. And just also on the Cats, Tom Hawkins, he'll play his 350th match on Monday in that traditional Easter Monday fixture at the G against Hawthorn. So Tom Hawkins, gee, what a career he's had. Three premierships, and there's a Coleman medal in there as well. All-Australian, he was all-Australian captain as well.
If this goose sends one more, I'm just warning you, Mido, because you're in control of this ship. If this goose who's been sledging Loz all day and he's just continues to write bullshit, writes one more message, I'm going to read his mobile number out on this show. I'm just letting you know. You know who I'm talking about, you clown.
0419 767 272 on the text line. Now, we've got Jakara Anthony, who's just coming off an amazing season. Moguls champion. She's going to join us shortly. A couple of years away until the next Winter Games there in Italy. So we'll get an update on how she's progressing, which is very well, of course. Jakara Anthony. Brad Davidson, we'll get some midweek mail off him. Todd Payton, the Cowboys coach, coming up after the news as well. Ante Juric, the Sydney FC women's coach. They can wrap up the Premier's plate for the fourth year in a row. Later this afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, they're up against Canberra United, and victory will ensure that Premier's plate. Mitch Manners as well. We'll get some Queensland mail off him. In fact, we probably won't, because just repeating that news that Steve Hewlett made me aware of just before is that Eagle Farm's off today. Eagle Farm off today with stacks of rain around southeast Queensland. So Eagle Farm called off today. Swans will get rolled Sunday, Mido. Mitchum Robertson says. And that's because Mitchum Robertson is a Richmond fan. And they're playing Richmond at the MCG on Sunday. But, of course, the round of the AFL tomorrow night starts with a grand final rematch between Brisbane and Collingwood at the Gabba. And Brisbane, well, both teams have had, well, underwhelming starts to the season. So big game there tomorrow night at the Gabba, Brisbane Lions and Collingwood. And we'll speak to Josh Kennedy tomorrow to get his take on the suspension of Peter Wright. And naturally that game and the rest of the games over the Easter weekend as well, with the Suns and Giants having byes after they played in opening round. Read his number, pup.
I will if he keeps writing his support. Rubbish. I'll not only read it here, I'll put it on my Instagram and tell all my followers to make sure you end up cancelling your phone number.
Gee, that'll be...
you get phone calls at 3 a.m.
Some numbers from all over the... some calls all from over all the over the world. That'll be interesting. Now, just some team news as well. And, the first match, of course, is tomorrow night in the NRL. And we'll have Blocker on tomorrow, of course, as always. The Roosters up against the Panthers. To start off the round, and Brad Schneider gets his chance in for Nathan Cleary for Penrith, while Mark Guy's son Maverick is also set to make his debut off the bench. And the Roosters, well, Sam Walker cleared out of concussion protocols, so he's fine, as has Luke Keary been cleared. But Lindsay Collins is out with a hamstring injury, and the Roosters, gee, Nathan Cleary, you talk about impact to the market. The Roosters $1.58, the Panthers $2.40. So plus 4.5 at the line. So that's a significant movement.
Yeah. Brett Snyder's a good player. He's
some
a very
games
good player.
At the Raiders, didn't he?
Yeah, he every time he played for the Raiders, they didn't miss a beat. So he'll do a good job. Jerome Luai, obviously big responsibility for him. Not steering the ship, but having an influence on the way that Snyder plays. No Fisher-Harris. Is a big out. This will be a lot tighter than the market suggests. I think Penrith at $2.40, did you say?
Yes.
Early in the week, I thought the Roosters at $2.60 was a good price.
Now but Penrith at $2.40 is a good price.
And I know Cleary's not playing, but that suggests to me that's not a bad play, like punting-wise.
Overreaction, you're saying?
I think so, yeah. I think so. As much as he's... a wonderful player.
They still find
the best.
A way, don't they, the Panthers?
Well, that's what history suggests over the last 3 or 4 years. They have been able to just replace someone with another player and they get the job done. Mm. But, the way that the Roosters played last weekend against South, it was pretty dominant.
Okay, joining us now, well, she's been dominating in the moguls. She won 14 World Cup races this season out of 16 events. That's the most by any skier in a single campaign. What a season she's had. Jakara Anthony is joining us. Jakara, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well, thanks.
So what aspect of your sport did you improve to result in such a dominant season?
A little bit of improvement across the board, but I think the biggest gains we saw this season were in the speed. You know, I was skiing a lot faster on average and closing the gap to those fastest girls in the field, which was really exciting to see.
So to what extent could you also see frustration in your competitors, Jakara?
I can imagine it was pretty frustrating for them when you can't really crack that top spot because someone is just dominating it. I've been in that similar sort of position before, and but it definitely makes you hungrier to go away and work on it.
Jakara, do you get a bit of a break now? Do you get time to actually celebrate and enjoy your success?
I get a little bit of a break. I had 3 days in my own bed, which was nice, but heading off to Japan for 10 days tomorrow, go for a bit of a ski, and then I'll get a break.
And what about the moguls? You mentioned speed, and obviously there's jumps and turns involved in it as well. But is that something that you really worked hard on, that speed this year? But how do you go about with all the three elements? Like, what do you specialise in? Are you better at one than the other? Like, tell us a bit about the sport itself, but also the elements of the sport.
There are a lot of elements to the sport, like you said. So the turns count for 60% of our score. The jumps are 20% and the speed's 20%. And my favourite is definitely the turns, and that makes up the biggest chunk. So we put a lot of focus there. But we also spend a lot of time in the off-season training our jumps. We've got plastic ramps into a pool at the Jeff Henke Training Centre in Brisbane. And then the speed aspect too. We can only really train that when we're on snow, and that's a bit of like a fear tolerance thing. You know, I'm strong enough and my technical skills are good enough to ski really fast, but it's scary. You know, there are genuine risks to our sports and extreme sports, so kind of getting used to that.
Yeah. Am I right in saying that you were the only girl a couple of years ago to do the Cork 720 mute? And
Yeah.
And so you've perfected that, but now the other girls are starting to do it. So is there something else that you've got up your sleeve leading into the Olympics that you think will give you the edge?
Yeah, so that Olympic season was when I started competing the Cork 720 mute, and I was the only girl to be doing it at the time. And it's been really cool to see a lot of other chicks coming out and trying it ever since then. So I'm pretty proud to have started that progression. But like you said, the girls' jumps, they're progressing really fast, and I think it's going to keep on that trajectory for the next few years. So we'll definitely be working on the water ramp, learning some new skills, getting better at the ones that I do have, and we'll see where we get to, but it's not a quick process to introduce new things like that.
Love to see you do a Cork 720 mute, Loz.
How'd you go? I haven't.
How'd you go? You reckon? Yeah. How'd you go?
I just do the flip.
You mean the human snowball?
Yeah. Land on the front. The spread eagle.
I've done a few of them myself.
Jakara, in regards to Olympic preparation, so you've got obviously 2026 in Italy. When's your prep start for the Winter Olympics, or when did your focus just go to that?
Well, to be honest, the focus shifts to the next Olympics straight after you finish the last one. So yeah, okay. After Beijing 2022, we put together a bit of a plan for what we want to achieve over the 4 years leading into 2026, and we do our best to go away and work on those skills and try execute them and give me the best opportunity possible to go out there and ski the run that we all know that I'm capable of at those Olympics. And we're actually going to have dual moguls in Milano Cortina for the very first time. So we're going to have two cracks at a gold medal, which is super exciting.
With the dual moguls then, how does that work? What's the biggest challenge? And do you have a partner locked in?
So you don't ski with a partner. Right. So you ski against the whole rest of the field, same as single moguls, but they do like brackets. So you'll ski It's like knockout rounds. So right. They'll send two of you down the course of the time. Judges are watching you both, and they have points to split between you.
Oh, right. And so then it's the not a team goes, as such.
Like no, we maybe one day we'll have a team event. We've tested that, and that's really fun. But in the Olympics, it's just going to be by gender. But, yeah, knockout rounds, so you get the winner. And speed becomes even more important in that sport. So we'll keep working on that for sure.
Jakara, are you holding anything back for the time being, jumps-wise? Are you doing stuff in training that you probably won't introduce to competition, probably, you know, until you get closer towards the games in 2 years? Or do you just, you know, whatever you've got in your arsenal, you just bring it all out now?
What I've got now is working really well, but I think everyone in mogul skiing has a bigger repertoire of tricks on the water ramps than they do on snow. You know, there's a lot less consequences there, so you're able to throw some bigger tricks, try new stuff where it still hurts if you don't land on your feet, but not so much as snow. So I think everyone across the whole field has more than they're showing.
Mm. And what about in the next 12 months? You've got the World Championships coming up in Switzerland. It sounds, oh, it's got a good ring to it, hasn't it? Olympic champion and World Cup champion.
Yeah, Olympic champion, World Cup champion. I am not world champion yet. So I've never secured that World Championships gold medal. So that's definitely going to be a big target for us over the next year. But we've also got a lot of things we're working on technically with the skiing. You know, me, my coach Pete, Kate, my whole support team, we've got all these goals we want to work towards with strength and conditioning on the snow, with my jumps, the mental side of things. So there's stuff outside the results too that are driving me, which I think is really important as well.
Yeah. Are you a goal setter?
Yeah, I think you have to set goals. You know, I've tended to avoid them at times because that little bit of fear of failure comes up. You know, what if I fall short? But by setting those goals, you definitely do end up achieving more than if you didn't at all, even if you do fall short, you know?
Yeah. So, well, Mido mentioned before, you won 14 out of the 16 races. Is a goal to win the whole 16?
The goal wasn't actually the results. I unfortunately can't control the results, no matter how well I ski. You know, someone could go and one up me, which would be awesome to see. They'd ski a very good run if they did. But my goals are kind of more around the way that I want to ski the moguls, the jumps that I want to do, how I want to execute them, and speeds that I want to be skiing.
How did you get involved in skiing? Because I was reading that you loved your surfing.
I do love surfing, and I was born in Cairns in Queensland and now live on the surf coast in Victoria in Byron Head. So doesn't quite add up that I ski, but my parents met way back at Mount Buller in Victoria. So they were working up there for the season. And then when they had my brother and I, they decided we'd go up there for the winter. We'd go to the local primary school and we'd get to ski as a family. It would be a sport that we could forever do as a family.
Yeah, you mentioned Mount Buller, and you know, you followed the Australian pathway in regards to your support crew and your coaching team as well. I guess for fledgling skiers here, Jakara, you've shown it can all be done here. Instead of, you know, obviously going to Europe and having to spend a fortune to go and sort of advance your career over there, it can be done here in skiing.
Yeah, we actually do have great facilities in Australia and some really good terrain. You know, I've had some of my favourite ski days ever at Mount Buller, and it's just such a fun place. And especially for freestyle skiing, you know, we've got an Olympic training centre at Buller with a great course on Chamois for the younger guys. And then as you kind of progress through the ranks at Perisher in New South Wales, we've got a massive mogul course that you could hold an Olympics or a World Cup on that. It's actually one of the most difficult courses we ski. So we're really lucky to have those facilities in Australia.
And the New South Wales Institute of Sport has had a big impact as well, I'm sure, Jakara.
Yeah, I think I've been on scholarship with New South Wales Institute of Sport for must be 10 years or a little longer now. So they've been there through the majority of my journey, and the servicing and the opportunities they've been able to provide for me have been pretty game-changing in getting me to where I am today.
What's your favourite place to compete at?
I love competing. I have a new one. I like competing in Alpe d'Huez in France, but my all-time favourite is Deer Valley in Utah. They just put on such a great event, and I love the way that they build the course there.
Put it on the bucket list.
most definitely, Mido, most definitely. I'm not a skier. So, Jakara, what advice would you give to me, not being a skier? I've tried it a number of times, and I get really embarrassed.
Did you get lessons?
Well, this is where I'm going. They gave me the lesson with little 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-olds going down the little.
You've got to start somewhere, buddy.
Mate, I'm telling you, it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever done. And I lasted about an hour and a half, and I got the, you know, what's, because I was just falling down and little kids were going past me. And I've never taken it back up. I thought, no, skiing's not for me. So what should I do?
I was definitely one of those little kids skiing past you, sorry imagine. To say.
They'd be looking at you. They're looking at you going, can't you get up, you idiot?
No, but in all honesty, just keep having a crack. You know, it is a very skill-based sport, so it is hard to learn. But, like, we love seeing people getting out there trying to learn, and definitely taking lessons is the way to go. You know, you're going to set yourself up for a bit more long-term success and to be a bit safer on the slopes if you go down that route. Doesn't make it any easier, but it'll be worth it in the long run.
Well, we go on a skiing holiday, and I'm the only one in the family that doesn't ski.
Oh, no, that can't be fun. Yeah. No, you're better off getting out and having a crack, even if you fall.
Yeah,
get
but
up
I
and
get
go.
I get upset with myself.
Why don't you
embarrassed.
Do? You're allowed to book one-on-one lessons if you're embarrassed to do it in front of 7-year-olds.
That's what you should do, Loss.
No, but I don't mind going around and just people watching either. Go down to the coffee shops and just look at people.
I think you want to ski. Try snowboarding. Yeah.
Anyway, it's not about me. It's about you, Jakara. Sorry.
Jakara, congratulations on a great season, and we'll be tracking your progress naturally towards the next games and, of course, the World Championships next year as well. But thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Brad Davidson, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Morning, Jared. Morning, everyone. How are we?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. And James McDonald. Set to ride I Wish I Win, which is currently cheap short in the market, $3.50, Imperatory's $2.50. That's the all-in market with Tab for the TJ Smith on Saturday week.
Yeah, that's correct, guys. He's picked up the ride there. Luke Nolan, obviously the regular rider, he had surgery in February due to some internal bleeding after a fall. I think it was a track work. So he's just taking his time to get back, and the team has said, don't rush back. We want you to be right. So that means he's not able to fulfil his riding duties on I Wish I Win in the TJ. So J-Mac has picked up the ride there. And, yeah, he's always a very exciting horse, guys. He just races very sparingly these days. I know he's had a few issues in the past and whatnot. And but, look, I'm sure the camp, the Moody camp, will have him absolutely cherry ripe come the TJ Smith Stakes, which is shaping up to be a really exciting race, guys. A stack of horses that'll be heading there. We saw Sunshine in Paris was so impressive there, returning on the weekend. I think she'll be heading that way, and shaping up to be a beauty as it is each and every year. The main sprint of the autumn, and I Wish I Win will be there, and he'll be hoping for just that bit of sting out of the track. No doubt he enjoys getting his toe into the ground, but J-Mac to ride's always a big positive.
Mm. And another Will sweating on a run for the Doncaster Prelude this weekend.
That's right, Loz. Yeah, we seem to have this conversation quite a bit. He's one of the most progressive sort of middle distance miling horses in the country right now, but he needs to get into the Doncaster Prelude today, and then needs to win that race to basically get into the Doncaster. So, you know, I've said it many times, I think the rating system doesn't really work. I think it doesn't allow these progressive horses to get into the race. There's no doubt in my mind if he was in the race, he'd be a top two chance, and there's probably five or six horses in there that'll be making up the numbers once again, but, you know, they still need to make their way in, and it shouldn't be the case that they have to try to sneak into the field of a race in the lead-up to then be able to get in. But that's the way it goes sometimes. He's a really, really progressive horse, though. His latest win in Melbourne was Arrogant, and I think if he's able to get into the field this weekend, he'll probably be winning. And then onto the Doncaster, where I think he's on the third line of betting, or in the first few anyway at this stage.
And we've got the Tab Australian Cup at Flemington on Saturday as well. And Mr. Brightsize, $2.50, just holding favouritism ahead of Pride of Jenny, the All-Star Mile winner, at $2.80 as it stands in that all-in market, Brad.
Yeah, it should be a cracking race again, guys. Obviously, Pride of Jenny was too good in the lead-up. We know how good she is second up, and she was able to sort of scoot along in front and prove too strong for Mr. Brightside, so in the All-Star Mile. So, look, whether she can do that again, third up. But, look, she started to develop that real consistency now, hasn't she, to be one of those real top liners. So it's going to be an exciting clash once again this weekend, and can't wait to see which way it plays out. We'll have a look at the barrier draws and everything today and see which way we'll go on the weekend. No doubt Mr. Brightside, they'll be hoping to settle a bit closer. He did get a long way back there last time out, albeit sort of Craig Williams was forced a bit with that barrier to sort of go back because the speed was on and he couldn't really get in. And then he got caught behind a couple of horses and probably got too far back. But look, I think she was still too good on the day. She was holding him on the line and, yeah, he gets his chance to turn the tables on the mare this weekend.
Have you got anything at Randwick today or have you got anything around the country anywhere?
Yeah, look, I thought the best was City of Lights there on the Kensington track today. Well graded back to midweek grade today. I thought she was terrific in group company last time out. She had to go back from the gate and really hit the line strongly in the best late splits of the day in that mare's race at group level. So back to the midweek suits, draws a gate and does look hard to beat in the last there on the Kenzo track today.
Race 8, number 3, $2.10 as it stands with Tab. Mate, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.